I'm with HRSA. As we're waiting for this to come up. And just to give you a background on myself, because everybody has a perspective and how they tell their stories. Mine is I'm a nurse. I went back, my first degree is in accounting. I went back to nursing school in my 40s. Went into geriatric psychiatry, and I originally worked with dementia in Holocaust survivors. And I couldn't understand why they kept on coming into the hospital, going through the ER, coming back into the hospital. We were doing CAT scans and MRIs on them every time they fell down. And I figured it had to be something better out there, a different way of being able to understand these patients. And I looked, and it was a new field at the time. It was nursing informatics. I went into nursing informatics. It's amazing to me. I was sitting here for the last, hour just thinking about originally when I first went into this, nobody knew about HIT. You couldn't even talk to anybody about it. They didn't know about EHRs. Meaningful use was meaningful use. It just came out of nowhere in the last 3 years. So I started out with Navy in informatics, well, home health care, went to Navy, and then I went to CMS. I got stuck with high tech. They were writing a rule at the time. And then somebody offered me a job at HRSA, and I said, What is HRSA? And I came from an inner city nursing school. I've lived in Baltimore City all my life, and I had never heard of HRSA. So just a little take on my background.
Just click her here.
So we'll just kind of take a look at who is HRSA, kind of the programs. Ton of programs. Blew me away when I saw them all. The population HRSA serves, and our HIT investments. HRSA is the Health Resources and Services Administration. Our motto is healthy communities, healthy people. If you're poor, you have no place else to go. You have HIV/AIDS. You're going to know about HRSA sooner or later. These are all the programs we serve. I won't go through all of them, but we're the good guys in healthcare. We fund it. When I was with CMS, a lot of people really didn't greet me when I walked into the room, but with HRSA, we really do a lot of really great things. CMS does too. Please don't get that wrong if anybody's here from CMS. 19 million patients are served through HRSA-funded health centers. Now, if you think about that, in electronic health record and interoperability, probably about 11% of all health care goes through federally qualified health centers of some sort. 11% of all health care in the United States. And it's not really being looked at from an interoperability viewpoint. 500,000 people living with HIV and AIDS receive services through Ryan White. 34 million women, infants, and children, and about 14,000 safety net providers participate in the 340B program. And there's 6,700 National Health Service Corps job professionals within the program. If any of you have a child that says they can't afford to go to college, this is a program that's great. If they want to be a healthcare professional, they'll pay up to $60,000 if you work in an underserved area, or $120,000 for full-time, $60,000 for part-time. It's a great way to pay for college. Let's see here, some statistics on our health centers. For FQHCs, 1 in 4 patients was under 12, 1 in 7 were uninsured. In the Ryan White program, 1 in 7 is female. 2 in 3 are a minority. 3 in 4 need help paying in some way. So what happened last year, it's actually been about 14 months ago, HRSA put together, they had two separate offices, Health IT and Quality. They had the Office of Quality and Office of Health IT, and they said, wouldn't this be an interesting idea putting them together? So they put them together, and we really have a great staff. We have 3 doctors. We have 2 nursing informatics professionals. I think 18 of them have their master's in public health. We manage the medical legal panel for the Tort Reform Act. So we really have a lot of expertise within our office. There's something that's being drilled through me from the physicians that are in our offices, that HIT and quality improvement are separate disciplines. You can't just lay health IT and say you have quality improvement, and most people would say that. It's a way to facilitate quality improvement, and you have to look at both processes. Amazing thing for me is being an accountant and being in business for many years is that in healthcare, let me think of a way of saying this. In healthcare, they do not look, or we do not look at the process from start to finish. We take a process, we make it electronic somehow, and I call it electronic ink. It starts, and then there's some sort of manual intervention. It's like quality measures. When I was at CMS, we were doing the quality measures, and we were e-specifying them. And people really didn't understand that there was a manual process to take quality measures, look at a chart, take a sampling, and then send in that data manually. And it's crazy. It really is. If you're going to take a process and build a technology on top of it, you got to look at the process from start to finish, or else you're causing twice as much problems on yourself. So, that's my little speech. We're working on health. A lot of our health IT investments right now, with the help of NORC, we're working on a guide for the health center controlled networks. I'm trying to go through this quickly. This will be covered in the next couple of slides. A lot of talk about telehealth. When I teach informatics at Johns Hopkins, and we talk about telehealth, and I've never seen it get so much attention as it is now. It's really a way of facilitating care for a lot of folks who probably couldn't get it otherwise. You know, I forget about, you know, growing up in Baltimore, we have like some of the, our access to care is fabulous. I mean, you walk out the door, you fall in a doctor's office. You know, you go someplace else in this country, you can't find one. My wife and I were talking about retiring, and she says, well, let's get a house up there on the mountain. I said, I don't want to be farther away from a hospital. If I have a heart attack, I want to be able to get to the hospital. So telehealth is really an idea that's probably come to fruition now. Our HIV/AIDS Bureau has something called CareWare. It's not an EHR. But it shows you how they've looked to the future a little bit. That you can actually take CareWare and extrapolate numbers and provide documentation of patient care. It's a really good program. They spent a lot of time working on this and spent a lot of money. And hopefully we'll be able to wrap this around an EHR going into the future. One of the things that's really interesting for me is because I've always worked in hospitals of some sort. I've never really, as a matter of fact, don't tell anybody, I almost failed nursing school because of OB. I was always afraid of little babies. So I didn't realize it, but it really makes sense. The health record doesn't start when you're 50 years old and go into a hospital. Or when you go to your doctor, it starts at birth. If you really want to, the value added of an electronic health record and a longitudinal health record is looking at it throughout the state, looking at a patient throughout the stages of life. And it was really kind of an aha moment for me when we started talking about connecting at the vital records level. HRSA's been working with the safety net community for HIT toolboxes. It's working with a provider who has multiple clinics within a health center is much different than a provider that just has a certain patient load. And we've developed probably some of the greatest tools out there for safety net providers to meet meaningful use. And if you've never been to our website, we have an HIT website and we have a quality website. And we've really done a really great job. Mike Banyas, who's in charge of that for health IT and quality, has done a fabulous job developing this with NORC. And it's just been, when you look at it, it's unbelievable the toolboxes that are up and that they've generated in a year and a half. 4 minutes. I just got the kiss of death. Thank you. Another interesting concept that's coming to fruition is that it's thought that if you want to send a message, not everybody's going to have a computer. But the chances are everybody's going to have some sort of cell phone, or most everybody. There used to be a thought that, yeah, they'll go to the library to use a computer if they need to find out something. That's not happening. So Text for Baby is really a great program that sends data to a device, a platform, that somebody who might need that information will get it. And I think that in the future we're going to start looking at more information being sent through cell phones. 2 minutes? Is that what you're saying? Three and a half minutes. Another aha moment for me, and by the way, I've only been with Hearst 6 months, so was when I went to HIMSS this year, we were wondering why there wasn't more electronic health record companies trying to sell to federally qualified health centers. And what we found out was HRSA's data wasn't aligned with any terminology. There's no implementation guides for it. We have contracts that are out right now to take UDS data and make it reportable in a national standard so that EHR vendors can build this into their systems and make this data reusable. The best thing that HRSA can do right now is to take our data and try to make it reusable, map it to national standards, so you all can take our data and make it reusable too. And it might not be our data if the same data is being collected by CMS. Why do we need to collect it? So we're starting to look at that. It's a big change within HRSA. We're starting to look at the national quality framework, the national data framework, and maybe we all can connect everything at one sooner or later in the near future. And I think, if anybody needs anything, you can write me, or you can call me. I can be your best resource to find good resources within HRSA. So anything you need, please let us know. Thank you.
Thank you. That was great. Thank you very much. Let's open up for questions. Maybe. The technology here is a little much. I'll work on it here. And also, for Martin, can give you his contact information as well.
Mm-hmm. Like not knowing how services are going to be delivered, so then you might think of the model of, you know, what do clients really usually experience.
Right.
And then you mentioned something in Utah called, what was it,
My Case.
Mm-hmm. And My Case, was that more just for your eligibility or also like more like a personal health record but a personal social service record where you could get more the qualitative part of it, not just whether you are financially eligible? I guess I was kind of challenged by not knowing what
to do. Right. Uma, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
I have a question.